Parshas Vayera begins, Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. And Hashem appearing to him, we don't know why Hashem appears to him. Chazal tell us, Mivakir Cholim. And he lifted his eyes and saw, Avraham Avinu lifts his eyes, and behold, three men were standing over him. He perceived, so he ran toward them from the entrance of the tent, bowed toward the ground, and he said, "My Lord, if I found favor in your eyes, please pass not away from your servant." I'd like to focus in on Yirtzeh Hashem today, one Rashi, very familiar Rashi, we've learned it as children, and to try to understand many, many layers and levels in this Rashi, and obviously with the eyes for the message for our lives. Chumash tells us that when Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and Avraham Avinu was sitting at the entrance of the tent, it adds an extra component. It was in the heat of the day. Rashi asks, "Kechom hayom," the heat of the day. Hotzia Kadosh Baruch Hu chama minar kitita. The Holy One, blessed be He, brought the sun out of the sheath. He made it shine intensely. Why? So as not to trouble Avraham with guests. Because God saw Avraham in star, he was aggrieved that there was no visitors coming. He brought the angels to him, b'dmura nashim, in the form of men. So Rashi is teaching us, a very famous Rashi. It's Avraham Avinu's of the third day after his bris milah. Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on Avraham Avinu. I know you love bringing in guests, but you're an old man. You just went through surgery. It's 3 days afterwards. You know what? I want to give you a day off. I'm going to make sure that there are no visitors. And how did Hashem ensure that there were no visitors? He put the sun out of its sheath. It was the strength of the sun. That was incredible strength. And that way there was nobody to have as a guest. Who's going out in such intense heat? People stayed home. And in that way, Avraham Avinu could rest up. And we know that Avraham Avinu was very upset. He's sitting by Petach Ohel waiting for guests. How could there be no guests? Medrash tells us he sent Eliezer to find guests. Right? He's longing, yearning for guests. Hashem says, "Okay, you want guests?" And he brought these three angels in the guise of people as guests. So, my friends, there are a lot of questions we can ask on this Rashi. Let's see it in the language of the Mefarshim. Masil Shavavar, Rabbi Eisenberger brings down the following. Anyone who knows Avraham Avinu, obviously you can't even compare the Ribbono Shel Olam, knows how much he loves to do chesed. So if that was the case, v'im kein in the dot, mi kara mai katzavar kivyachol olilim atat chama min arkita. What is going to help for Hashem to take the sun out of its sheath when he knows that Avraham Avinu is going to want guests no matter even if it's the heat of the day? It wouldn't matter. Like, what was Kivyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu thinking? Gee, if I take the sun out and it's really hot, then he's not going to want guests? Like, obviously, anyone who knew Avraham Avinu knew he wanted guests. What was the thought process going on here? Bet. Acharei shirao mitzta'er v'nitbarer b'po'al shechom hayom lo yil lotei lo menucha. Im kein b'mkom lavim alachim, ayav shar lach zir matzav lo tivo shetashiva chamal anarkita. Okay, now that he feels pain, then he wants to have guests, so do us all a favor. Put the sun back, right? Bring the heat down a few, 10, 20 degrees, and then have people walk around like normal, and then he'll have normal guests. And, why did he have to bring the malachim? Bring them all the way from above? Why was it necessary for a malachim? And there are many ways Hashem could have stopped bringing guests. There could have been a sandstorm. What's specifically about the sun? Further, the Chaim Moshe asks in source number 6, why is Hashem bringing malachim? V'chizu mitzvah achnasar orachim? Is this the mitzvah achnasar orachim? If Hashem sees that Avraham Avinu wants to do the mitzvah, so allow him to do the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to have guests. The guests can't eat and enjoy the meal. So if already he's going to have him do the mitzvah, so then take away the sun, have people's intensity, have people come and go normally, and let him do the mitzvah properly. So here, you want him to do the mitzvah, and you're sending him angels? It makes absolutely no sense here. What is really going on here? That's really our question. And finally, from where does Rashi learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put out the sun in such intensity for to prevent Avraham Avinu from having gas? Where is that hinted in the Chumash? Okay, my friends, so let's look at this on two levels. The first level will be the Pshat level. Within the Pshat level, we'll have many levels, many aspects of the Pshat level. And then the final part of the Shir, very briefly, we'll look at it on a more of a Drash Remez level, what this Rashi is teaching us. So let's start with Pshat. We'll begin in 7a with the Mesillas Bavavam, where he says, Havanat HaDvarim HaPi Girsa D'Yan Kuta. The way we've learned this as kids, and this is approach number one, but we'll see it's going to be much deeper than we learned it as kids. He dachei mitzad chol yav, patur hayam min hadin. Because Avraham Avinu was sick and old, he was patur from doing achdas arachim. Onus rachmei patrei. Ava Avraham isha chesed lo yishlim im patur. But Avraham Avinu wasn't satisfied with being off the hook. He went above and beyond. Therefore, Hashem took the son out to make him patur mitzad hamatzav. So Avraham Avinu, because he was old and after this major operation, so as an individual, he was patur from having to do the mitzvah. But Avraham Avinu wasn't satisfied with being patur because who he was. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then created a situation where the situation will make him patur. There are no guests, and therefore he doesn't have to do the mitzvah chodas l'orchim. Umin asvaru b'zman shesibat ones einam mipad choser kochov yicholto rak michoser v'eder nitzrachim, that there are no people around. So therefore he doesn't have to feel bad. You know, you really want to do the mitzvah, but you can't do the mitzvah. But this is not continuing on the next page. In source number 8a and b, Ach lo kach Avraham Avinu, shemid al ches hayta tvua b'tomo. Chesed was part and parcel of who he was. Al kein b'chol mikra yam mitzayer. Even if there was no one walking around, he was in pain, because he wanted to do the mitzvah so badly of achnasat orchim. And as he notes back on the first page of 7b, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the first lesson we should learn from this is that every person should make sure that no day goes by in their life that they have not done some type of Gemilus Chesed with their body, with their money, with their soul, that they learned Torah with somebody, whatever it is. Chesed Kel Kol Ayom, B'chol Yom Vayom. Every day a person should be careful to go after Gemilus Chesed, and Hashem will reward the person likewise. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper, the desire of Avraham Avinu to have guests. So, as the Arisco points out on the Rashi in source number 9, the addition of Kichom Hayom, the heat of the day, is extra. We don't need to know that. He's sitting at this tent, at the entrance of the tent. The fact that it says at the heat of the day is teaching us that Hashem wanted to make sure that there were no travelers around. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates that situation of the heat of the day to teach you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him an out, that there are no people who are able to do chesed. Very famous Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal, Andarosh Moshe, where he says that Avraham Avinu simply had a love for doing acts of kindness. As we shall explain elsewhere, it itself was a mitzvah to desire to be involved in mitzvahs. In particular, acts of kindness, in the same way that people desire certain foods or other physical pleasures, the fact that the food they want is not in front of them does not take away their hunger for it. The only way to accomplish that is to find the food and eat it. So if a person has a craving, let's say for chocolate, so they're sitting there saying, oh, I wish I had chocolate. So even though there's no chocolate in front of them, they still want the chocolate. So if there's really such a craving for chocolate, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go and find some piece of chocolate. Avraham Avinu's craving for chesed was so great that he was going, looking around, sending Eliezer, find me a guest, any guest. That was his thirst for chesed. This is similar to Moshe Rabbeinu setting aside the Ari Miklat even before he died. This is similar to the people who wanted to bring the Korban Pesach even though they were Tamei LaNefesh. As we have said, even though they cannot perform the mitzvah, they simply want to have some degree of involvement with it. This is like, he brings us an example of people who, for whatever reason, are putter from sitting in the sukkah. They will build a sukkah, even though they're not going to sit in it, because they love the mitzvah so much. These are people who are craving doing a mitzvah. And as Rav Moshe notes, and this is by the Parshas Baluscha, by the Pesach Sheni, he says, this is really the bracha in source number 11 we give a child at the bris. Kishem, as he enters into the Torah, the marriage, Kishem Shinichlas, the bris, just like he entered into the covenant, he should enter into the Torah, the marriage canopy, and good deeds. So the obvious question is, well, it's not good deeds part of Torah, right? Shikanes l'Torah l'chupa l'maisim tovim. Well, what difference is maisim tovim from Torah? Torah is, in the Torah are the maisim tovim, the good deeds. So he teaches the following. He says that we bless the child that he should love the mitzvahs, that he should perform them, even if by Torah law he can exempt himself. Like in the old times, if you didn't wear a four-cornered garment, you didn't need to wear tzitzis. Well, the child will want to wear the four-cornered garment. He would want to be able to do the mitzvahs. And that's the bracha we give this child to attain the special love of mitzvahs. A separate special blessing is required. So Torah is the world of Torah. And chuppah is clearly marriage. But maisim tovim is not just doing good deeds. It's the love of good deeds. With this in mind, that this was Avraham Avinu's raison d'etre in life, to love doing mitzvahs, to love chesed, he wasn't going to be satisfied with this out. So again, we come back to our original question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that. He knew that Avraham Avinu wasn't going to be satisfied. So why go through this whole thing of taking the son out? Just give him guests, even though he could have been putter. But you know that Avraham Avinu was going to want to have guests. So just give him the guests. So here, the Tosha Rebbe in Avodah Avodah, that's notes a gewaltig word. He says, our story here happens right after, in the end of last week's parasha of Lech Lecha, the Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu. And he asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait so long to tell Avraham Avinu to do the Bris Milah? Why not do it toward the beginning of his life? And he knows, Ki Iker Erech Kiyum HaMitzvah, source 12 in the bracket, Hi Lefi HaMachshava Sheba. Beza Kavana Panimi Salev HaAdam Mekayima. The question in doing a mitzvah, to evaluate a mitzvah, is not just the act that one does, but really what's the mindset behind it? What's the panimius of it? You know, the Chumash tells us, V'chayi Behem Ani Hashem, you should live by the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs should have a chiyus to them. They should have a power to them. Lo amos ki achia v'asaper ma'seka, sheba'et sh'asaper ma'seka, when I tell the greatness of Hashem, that's a time, lo amos, I'm not going to be in a state of b'chinas mate, ki b'chinas chai, I'm going to be alive, I'm going to be vibrant. So Kadosh Baruch Hu waited that Avraham Avinu is going to long for the mitzvah bris milah. So now that the mitzvah bris milah is going to happen, it's going to happen on a much deeper, much more profound level. Lachem kashir yikayim Avraham Avinu alav ashol mitzvah samila, ratza Kadosh Baruch Hu shetugal bo hakavana pnimis bedargah gvoha ma'od 13a will be on a higher level. Now that Avraham Avinu has done the mitzvah bris milah, listen closely, 13b. This is also the reason, perhaps, when Hashem took the son out of its sheath and made it really hot. Now that Avraham Avinu has done the mitzvah of Mila and he has perfected himself, he's on a level of Tamimus, on a higher level. So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants 14a, Shegam Mitzvah Sachnosar Orchi. Hashem wants now that the entire rubric of Avraham Avinu's mitzvahs should now take on a different dimension. So even though Avraham Avinu has been doing the mitzvah of Achnosar Orchim all his life, that was his mitzvah, Lo Gadla B'Kirbo Kol Kach Yishtoku Kuchel El Mitzvah. He was missing this passion for the mitzvah. He was doing it. This is what he was doing. But now that after he's gotten the mitzvah bris milah, he's entered into a different dimension in relationship with Hashem. And now Hashem doesn't just want the performance of the mitzvahs. He telech lefanai vayet tamim, to be whole with Hashem is the entirety of our being. Lo amos kiyacheva saper maseka, to be able to do the mitzvahs with passion, v'chai behem, to sing Hashem's praises. And therefore, kevan shayabi adol kaimat tamim. Therefore, Hashem takes the son out. Kidei sheitzdayer la eder kiyum mitzvah. Hashem purposely took the son out. Why? To make him feel uncomfortable. Why? So that he should have a longing to do this mitzvah. And then, umitochi shtochi gedola zu. From that longing, Hashem then sent him, the angels, to do the mitzvah. So, Yechiname, Hashem of course knew that Avrovina was going to long for angels. That's what he wanted. He wanted that ishtokikus. He wanted that passion. He wanted that yearning. Because then it transforms the entire mitzvah of Achnasat Orchim to a higher dimension. And obviously, this is a lesson 14b for our lives. This is a limud goto. Ki la'olam nimdad erech ha-mitzvah lefi rov chiyus ha-pnim yishabah. To really be able to evaluate a mitzvah is how much passion is in that mitzvah. As the Chovetz Chovos writes, Ki ikar chashivas ha-mitzvah, hi chelek ha-lev sheba. A major component of the mitzvah is the heart that's found in the mitzvah. Uladavkaba, uvotidba, the connection and closeness to Hashem. So far, my friends, what we've established is that Avraham Avinu is sitting there with every excuse in the book. The physical pain, there are no guests, but that doesn't suffice for Avraham Avinu. He wants it. He's yearning for it. He's looking for it. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? And the answer is because he wanted him to have this tishtokikos in order to be able to elevate the act of Achnasat Orchim to a much higher dimension. So then the question becomes, my friends, what is this higher dimension? What is this aspect of Achnasat Orchim that is so much greater now after he's done his bris milah? And further, and this is the question we raised at the beginning, why angels? If you want to make the mitzvah to a higher level, so then dafka, you should have people so that the mitzvah can be done. Because really, with angels, is the mitzvah really accomplished? They didn't enjoy anything. They didn't benefit. So im kvar askar, if you want them to do the mitzvah achnasat orchim, so then give them people. So to answer this question, we need to look at it on two dimensions. Dimension number one is to see the power of this act vis-a-vis the outside world. And we'll see this two aspects. And then to see this idea of Achnasat Orchim in terms of Avraham Avinu himself. And we'll see this on a number of levels as well. All still on the first level of Rashi, the Pshat. So why Dafka angels? So Lekach HaLibo brings from the Gaon Rav Aryeh Leib Malin, Zechuto Yigen Lenu, a Gevaldik Vort. Avraham Avinu is living in the generation of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah were people she'ikru inyan shochesel legamre. The resin detre, the bylaws of Sodom and Gomorrah were no guests. And they treated guests literally with torture. So therefore, Avraham Avinu understood that his job was not just to do chesed, but rather he had to be able to establish the midah of chesed in the world to really counteract the Sodom and Gomorrah's behavior, which was anti-chesed. Nimsan she'inyan asira chesed shel Avraham Avinu, the end of 15, haya lo matara acheret chutz me'asav asira chesed. So there was really two aspects in the kindness that Avraham Avinu was involved in. One was the aspect of doing an act of kindness. But the second, Shayalu Gama Terelu Modla Nashimet Inyan Acheset, was to be a model for people in the power, the joy, the benefits of doing kindness, and how to do kindness, and not to be embarrassed to do kindness, and lefarsem, and to publicize the beauty of kindness. So So you're right. Technically, these angels did not eat, and you wouldn't call this a chesed. Aval, the bracket of 15, Lefi ra'odei no b'nei adam shelo yadu shei melachim, v'ayu nir'eim lahem kanashim, ayakir persum, shomitat ha'chesed. V'lachin ayah b'zeto, elu tshleimav, shayu melachim. The people watching this, even if it was Avraham Avinu's servants in the house, they didn't know they were angels. They looked like people. So the act of doing chesed and the publicity of chesed is taking place here. It's technical that the angels aren't eating. At the same time, the way it appears at the world around them is that these angels are eating, and Avraham Avinu is feeding them and taking care of them. So therefore, the idea of the importance of chesed is now being publicized. That was the goal. The goal in this case isn't to feed the angels. There's a much greater goal going on here. The goal of allowing that act of chesed to be found in this world, to be able to focus in on the power of chesed. That's why Avraham Avinu was so upset there's no guests. Not just that he was upset that there was no guests for himself, but he understood that there's such an importance right now, particularly right before Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. We have to be able to make sure that people understand that the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah is the lack of chesed and the importance of chesed. And again, the upshot for us, he says in 17, is that really in every mitzvah that we do, v'yesh b'chol mitzvah inyan shelilmod l'cheirim lamed l'cheirim shesarich l'sokim. One is, we do the mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it is. At the same time we're doing a mitzvah, there's another byproduct of any mitzvah we've done. And that is other people watch us. And that creates a Kiddush Hashem. And it creates inspiration, and other people want to follow us. And the ripple effects are tremendous. So when we ask ourselves, we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol is putting Avraham Avinu through this, because he wants them to have the passion and the desire. And that will elevate the act of Esed to a much higher level. So then we ask ourselves and bring people, not angels. And the answer on level number one is, it doesn't really matter, because it's not really about the people who are eating, it's about what effect that it has in the world, what spiritual effect that it has, and what people see. And the fact that people see this, and they see the importance of chesed, now Avraham Avinu is sick, and he nonetheless does chesed. Avraham Avinu is a full household here. Word spreads. You know, the next time people come, they'll say, you'll never believe what happened yesterday. Remember the heat wave? It was such a incredible heat wave. And Avraham Avinu slaughtered 3 cows and tells the whole story, and it becomes news. And that was the megamah, that was the focus of Avraham Avinu wanting to do chesed so badly. So that's one understanding of why the angels, it was okay to have angels. A second understanding of why specifically angels is Rav Bik Zatzal in Chaye Moshe. And he says, there's a famous chazal in Bava Basra, Yud Amin Aleph. B'shash Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shomako, Nikroim Banim. When we do the will of Hashem, we're called sons. U'kishein Osim Ritzono Shomako, Nikroim Avadim. When we don't do the will of Hashem, we're called servants. Well, hold on a second. If we don't do the will of Hashem, then we're sinners. What do you mean we're Avadim? Even a servant does the will of his master. Both of them are doing the will of their master. So what's the difference between a ben and an eved? There's those people that do Torah mitzvot in the aspect of a son, as they would do the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, shemekaymo b'ratzon b'rigushos halei b'kisufim v'dveikos. They do it with passion, with love, with desire. And those are the bunim. Those are the ones who are doing Ritzono Shel Makom. And they want to bring Nachat Ruch in front of Hashem. And they'll do whatever Hashem asks them with passion and enthusiasm. 19. V'yesh mehem. And then there are those who are mekayim mitzvah Hashem, bedargas evet, who do the will of Hashem, but they're like servants. They don't do it because they want to do it. They do it because they have to do it. And they're afraid of the consequences if they don't do it. Weir is one area where you can see the difference between whether a person's a ben or an eved. The answer is, what happens when you're unable to do a mitzvah? So if you're a ben, if you're a son, I can't believe I can't do this mitzvah. I wish I could do it. And you've tried to figure out ways to do it. And right, if you're an eved, you say, well, I tried. I wasn't able to do it. Next, right? It's like, you know, you want to pick somebody up from the airport, let's say. It's a nice mitzvah. And you get to the airport, and you're trying to find them, and you can't find them. And they call you up, and they say, you know what? My plane's delayed. You know, it's not worth waiting for me. Just go home. I'll take a taxi. Don't worry about it. So what's your attitude? Your attitude is, I'll wait the hour. I'll circle the airport. I'll find something to do and come back. Or is your attitude, okay, so they'll take a taxi. I tried. I did the best I could. The plane was delayed. Weiter. Let's move on. Right? And obviously, if this was a family member who you really liked, you would wait that hour. If it's, you know, somebody asks you to pick up, do me a favor, can you pick up my friend? Well, I tried. It didn't happen. You know, let him take a taxi, you know. Big deal. You don't even think twice about it. Okay, maybe think twice, but that's it. The differences between a ben and an eved is when you aren't able to do something, what's your reaction? How do you feel? This is the idea in Source 20 of Rabbi Akiva saying, I was waiting my whole life to dial Kiddush Hashem. It's someone whose whole focus is, how can I be the best eved Hashem I can be? Now, V'nei Eitzo Malachim in the squiggly in 20, Lo Shayach Dargazu Lavodet Hashem Kebev. It's very interesting. Angels cannot serve Hashem like a son, because the Malachim only do what they're commanded to do. Giburei Korach Osa Dvara Lishmo B'Kol Dvara. The Malachim Einam Osim Dvar Hashem Barach Ela K'Shem Shamim Kol Dvara. They can't initiate things on their own. They can't add to this level of passion. They're programmed to do something. They do it. Ulfi Zeh Yivuare Tev Lama Lo Avi Kadosh Baruch Hu Orchi Miyad. Elim Tin Rachi Yisteru Sol Sadi. Ki Migodo Malato Shavar Vinu Hitzta'er Al Shelo Higio Orchi. Ve'im Biyadu L'kei Mitzvah Chnasan Orchi. So first of all, Hashem is testing him. Are you an Eved or are you a Ben? So I'm going to let you off the hook. Not only do you have the excuse of being sick, it's a major heat wave. There's not one soul walking around outside. So you're definitely off the hook. How do you feel? Are you sitting in bed in an air-conditioned tent? Or are you sitting petach oel looking and longing? When is a guest going to come? So this fact that Hashem made it hot and made it difficult for him was part of his nisayon, was part of his test to see, are you a ben or are you an evet? And here clearly he showed everybody that he was a ben. So the fact that Avraham Avinu has this response, Sha'am Ravinu Aveda Paromitoch Ava Yaseira B'Dagat Shel Ben. Now, we know that the whole point of Hachnasat Orchim is to benefit the guest. It's something they don't have, right? They need a drink, you give them a drink. Ube'eich Adam Aveda Shem B'Vchinan Eved Ein Bi'adol Lo'anot Malachim. So he adds here, Gaval Degvor, he says, if you serve Hashem on the level of angels, so then there's nothing you can offer an angel, because you and the angel are on the same level. However, and for sure, the Avodat HaMalachim is greater than yours. Rak Adam Shubuchinat Ben, Hu Sheyesh Lo Biadola Nodat Malachim B'davar She'im Behem. But however, if you serve Hashem as a son, then you can have something to give the angels. You can teach them. V'limdam derech hadash avodat Hashem. You can show the angels a way of serving Hashem that is not part of their repertoire. So when we ask, well, why not just give them people? You can't do the mitzvah of achnasat orachim with angels. The answer is not so simple. You're right. Giving them food and drink may not be the what the angels eat, and therefore it's as if it's not Hachnasat Orchim. But let's think a little bit outside the box. Let's think in angel terms. And that is, what is something that the angels could benefit from that they don't have? and that's going to be something spiritual. And that was that mita of Bet, the love that Avraham Avinu exuded, that the angels can learn from him. And with this, we can appreciate, he says, I think this is Gevaldik, 23. Hashem pays back a person measure for measure. Now that Avraham Avinu has proven that his service to Hashem is the aspect of a child, it's only appropriate that the angels should come and give him the Besara Tova, the good news, that he will have a son, he will have a child. You act as a way of a ben, you're deserving, measure for measure, to have a ben, a son. Okay, my friends, so here we have Avraham Avinu's desire and longing to have guests, and Hashem putting him in this situation is on purpose. One is that it enhances the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. Two is, it's the ability for Avraham Avinu to show the world the importance of the Midas of Chesed. Then further, it shows the world that Avraham Avinu is a Bechina of Ben. And on this level, he has tacked us something to give the angels that they would not have gotten on their own. So that's one aspect of why it was crucial for Avraham Avinu to do this act of Chesed, that Hashem put him through this test. It was the way it was going to be viewed by the outside world. And then, my friends, there's a deeper aspect to this. And let's begin this deeper aspect to this, that Avraham Avinu is longing for guests for another reason. And that's in Source 24. The Ramak, Ramosha Cordovero, writes in Tomer Devora that we have to try to emulate the ways of Ribbono Shel Olam. Emidotav Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Leitiv L'Zulosa. The ways of Hashem is to do kindness to others. Kamo Kein Tzarich Adam Leitiv L'Zulato. Likewise, people have to do kindness to others as well. And just to Kamo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Nehenem Mima Shemeitiv Ima Briya. Just like Hashem, Kivyachol, gains no benefit when he gives to the creation, because everything is his and he's missing nothing, and he wants nothing in return. Likewise, a person has to give to another, not for any reason, but for an pure altruistic purpose. Velotik vatscharo tashlum. It's not because someone's going to pay you back. It's not because you're going to get a reward. You're giving for the sake of giving. And if you want to know if you're like Hashem, or you're doing this just because you feel bad and you want to help somebody else out, he says the litmus test would be, or the mechanism would be, is do a chesed for somebody without them knowing it. And that way they can never pay you back. That way you don't have that feeling of, wow, you're so great. And that way you're really emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, Avraham Avinu asah kol yamav asiyat chesed. Avraham Avinu's whole life was involved in chesed in 25, but he didn't know. Was his chesed in order to make people feel good, or was his chesed to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Now, the fact that he's feeding angels who don't need to be fed, that's a prime example of giving to someone who doesn't need. This is emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in this way, it was chesed l'shem chesed. So according to this, Avraham Avinu is acting in this way, feeding angels specifically. And Akash Baruch Hu is giving him this opportunity to feed angels. Avraham Avinu's desire to do chesed is really a desire, not just because people need it. His desire is coming from imitatio Deo, from emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the proof text of this is that he's giving to people who don't need, and he's excited about this. If you only were giving to people who needed, who were able to really appreciate, so maybe you're doing it for personal reasons. How do I know it's really L'shem Shemayim? So the angels was a gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that he should know that his deeds are really coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. As Rav Gifter Zatzal points out in 26, it's not just enough to do chesed based on V'hafter Recha Kamocha. Emulating Hashem chesed not only obligates us to chesed because Hashem does so, but also obligates us to emulate the manner which He does chesed, and that is emulating Hashem thus requires us to chesed not only because someone's in need, but also because we desire to perform acts of chesed. Now, if we take this idea one step further, we see this, says the Nachlas Eliezer 27, Yalkut Yosef Lekach, teaches us. He says, HaMivchan HaMiti LeChud HaMaasim HuDafka B'Sha'a SheMitzad HaDin HuPator MaMitzvah Kasher Anus Ve'Eino Yechol Kaima. What was the greatness of Avraham Avinu in this situation, he says, is that Avraham Avinu is not resting on his laurels. He's not being able to take the out that he had, but rather it's Nimsa Shanitsayon Loya Be'etzam Nechut Livn. But rather, the whole focus of his doing this was, again, connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. He wants to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, to which the Pnimei Das adds that the Midat HaChesed Hina Midah Nidreshet Beroshu B'Rishona La'Osa HaChesed Ba'Asmo. The Pnimei Das, Rav Bloch, points out something fascinating. He says, we have a misconception of what chesed is about. We think chesed is about what we would call, you know, doing acts of kindness in the rubric of society. Hi, poor person, let me help them out, let me give, you know, cross the old lady across the street, you know, that type of chesed. And it's really about the recipient. Says Rav Bloch, no. The real aspect of chesed is about the person themselves that is doing chesed. This is, as we just said in Nachlas Eliezer, this is the real test of a person. Because if it's just about how the other person feels, so there are many situations that I can step back and say, well, you know what, they didn't really need it, someone else did it, you know, so many people are doing this project, it's not about me. And we'll take the easy way out, and we'll feel comfortable in the easy way out. It's like the Nachlas Eliezer says at the end of 27, the real test when Kadosh Baruch Hu will give the goyim the one mitzvah kala, the one easy mitzvah sukkah, it's not the mitzvah itself. It's how do they feel when they can't do the mitzvah? You know, they kick the sukkah, and like, enough. No. Like, what's our attitude? And part of this attitude is an understanding, my friends, listen closely, that every mitzvah isn't just about the recipient of our kindness, it's about the effect that the mitzvah has on us. And that's what this Rashi is teaching us. What Avraham Avinu was mitztayer, he felt bad he couldn't do the mitzvah. Well, you can't do the mitzvah, there's no one there to feed. Okay, no one there to feed, Eliezer's looking for people, no one there to feed, go back to bed. Not if you understand the real aspect of chesed. The chesed is not just the recipient. Chesed is the giver himself. As Chazal tells us, the end of 28, Yoteri Masha Balabayit Osei Ma'ani Ha'ani Osei Ma'Balabayit. More than the rich man does for the poor man does for the rich man. Rav Zaitchik Chazal and Or Chadash develops this idea. And he says, you don't have to find guests if there are none. Ki tachlita shel atztaka leiti l'makabel ani v'imein kan keilu shemistakim l'tmicha b'vaday shematzavu mutsuyan v'im chiyuv tekev l'tev l'aitiv. If there's no one around, you're off the hook. But that's what Chazal saying. We learn from here, dafka mikan sheish lanu l'mod shetachlit atztaka eina chad stadid. It's not one way. It's not just about the recipient. Ki im bikar in the asterisk mechuvenet he lutzad hanotein et tzedakah. The giver. It works on you to be a giver. It works on you in your midos. It works on you to be able to make yourself a more sensitive, giving type of person. And every time you give, and every time you have guests in your house, that works on your midos. It works on making you a more giving, sensitive type of person. And that's what we have to understand here. And not only does it impact you to be a more sensitive, giving type of person, but it's even more than that. In Source 30, it impacts your Avodas Hashem too. Because the more I give to Hashem's children, the more I connect to Hashem himself through his children. And this was the greatness of Avraham Avinu at this moment. This was a moment of a tremendous test of Avraham Avinu. Where is your focus in life? Is it just about giving? Is it just about the recipient feeling good, the recipient has gotten something? Or do you have a desire to become the best person you can be? And that desire to become the best person you can be means that I'm not sitting back. I'm going to look for opportunities to be a giver and to be a giver some more. And I'm going to look for opportunities to connect my love to Hashem. And I'm going to look for opportunities to connect my love even more to Hashem. And that, my friends, is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Let's summarize what we've seen till now and add one very important level, and then we'll look at the second part. Yirat Hashem. Avraham Avinu was easily off the hook, and Hashem was having rachmanis on him. Go home, you don't have to do this mitzvah. But Avraham Avinu was upset. I want to do this mitzvah. So Hashem said, you know, I'm going to make your life even easier. Take out the sun. There's going to be no guests today. Right? Hotel closed. You know, no vacancies. But Avraham Avinu wasn't satisfied with this. And Bedavka HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing him. Are you going to be satisfied or not? This is a moment of a test of Avraham Avinu, and it's a moment that teaches us so much about Avraham Avinu and so much about ourselves. First and foremost, Hashem wanted him to have tshuka, wanted him to have desire. Hashem took out that sun purposely, in order that Avraham Avinu should say, nevertheless, I want to sit at the entrance of the tent, kechom hayom, in the heat of the day. I'm chaloshing for guests. I want guests. And that desire for guests, that desire for the mitzvah, raised up his level of the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim to a much higher degree. Ah, then why the angels and not just people? One is, it was the act itself of chesed, the way people saw it, that was the counter to Sodom and Gomorrah. Two is that the angels were able to benefit. They learned a lesson about the level of Avraham Avinu that they didn't know on their own, because they're just avadim. And that Banim Lamakom, the passion that Avraham Avinu had, was a lesson the angels could learn. But really, my friends, what's going on here is something far deeper. It's about Avraham Avinu working on himself. It's about Avraham Avinu and Matati Odeo emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not necessarily about what the people receive. They're angels. They're receiving nothing. That doesn't matter. It's about me as a giver. Do I yearn to give just for the sake of giving? Because I become a different person. I connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I look for opportunities not to get off the hook in mitzvos, but to realize that mitzvos are here to make me a better person. Mitzvahs aren't just a, you know, check off on a box. I did this mitzvah. How does the mitzvah transform me? How does the mitzvah change me? And Avraham Avinu going through this challenge of being able to get off the hook and doesn't get off the hook shows us his tremendous passion for mitzvahs and teaches us that really what chesed is about is not just the one who receives it. It's about you, and it changes who you are. I'd like to take this idea one step deeper. And this is a very, very powerful insight that Rav Lugassi has in Beyam Derech. And he says, okay, Avraham Avinu wants to have guests. There are no guests. So do us all a favor. And we're in Source 31. Put the sun back in. Heal Avraham Avinu and let him have guests. So if he really wants to have guests, why are you making it so much harder for him? Why not just, okay, he passed the test. He wants it. He's emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't matter who the guests are. It's about the giver, not just the receiver. Okay, so now have Rachmanis, so now have Ravino. You want to have Rachmanis on him that he shouldn't have to take in guests. So really have Rachmanis HaKadosh Baruch Hu on him. Just take the sun back in so it's not so hot when he's running around in this heat. And the angels, you know, ultimately will heal him. Heal him right now at this moment, even before he begins his Hachnasat Orachim, and make his life easier. He passed the test. Weiter. Listen to what Rav Lugassi says in the era. Mivchan ha'adam hisha'at ha'koshi v'anisayon. The test of a person is in the time of challenge. And this is why we're here, Masilsi Sharon, the first chapter. La'avod v'la'amod b'nisayon. We're here to serve Hashem and to withstand challenges. Madrigat Mauto Shel Adam Nimdenet. When is a person really being measured? Bitot Koshi Libachev. Im Gam Az Ochez Hibavadato Veino Marpani Menu. What is really the litmus test of where we stand? How do you know who a person really is? See them at a moment of challenge. Av Ravinu Mekayem Haya Mitzvah Achnas Orochim Kol Yamam. Av Ravinu has been doing Achnas Orochim his whole life. How do I know where he really is at? How do I know who he really is? Give him a situation of Achnas Orochim that is painful. It is the third day of his Mila. The sun is out. It's hot. They're angels. They don't really even need to be taken care of. Now, how is he going to respond? He could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, thank you for these angels, but, you know, they don't really need it. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do this mitzvah in the most intense way possible, with the heat of the sun, third day Mila, Malachim, because all of this is part of his Nisayon. He gives us an example. A mansion, 32, two people who sit and learn, and they daven, and, you know, day in, day out. And then something happens, whatever the story is, and one says, you know what, I just can't come to davening. The minyan, it's too hard. You know, I came back from a wedding so late. That's 2 in the morning. I'm not going to be able to have the kavanah and davening. So, I missed a day of davening. And the other one was also at the wedding. He also came back at 2 in the morning. He said, I'm not missing a day of davening. So, at the end of the year, when you tally up both of these scorecards, you'll say both of them, Learn and David, one missed 2 days and one missed any days, but basically they're the same. He says, absolutely not. He says, the world of the difference of one missing 2 days and one not is an indication of who the person really is. Because when a person is in a challenging time, and nevertheless is able to hold on despite the challenge, that's an indication that this is really who they are. Ainch erkam shaveh klal, shat hakoshi v'nisayon gilta she'etzel ha'omeid b'mifchan, hator v'tfilei nam b'toch me'av, u'muchanu l'msor nafsho aleihem. The one who's going to still get up for a minyan is saying that this is his whole life. This is who he is. This doesn't just reflect at the moment of Nisayon. This then is a reflection of who he is in his entirety. When things are going calm and smooth, this is a different type of person. They're on a whole different level. The Shat Nisayon, the time of the challenge, doesn't only teach us about the challenge, it's a reflection of all the other time where you were at. So albeit both of them learned and davened, but you can't compare the learning and davening when I see that he's able to withstand the challenge so that all of his learning and davening is on a much more deeper and connected level. Hence in 37, Yosef HaTzadik is called HaTzadik. He had one Nisayon that made him a Tzadik. So for that one Nisayon, you're going to call him for Dore Doros, for all eternity, a Tzaddik? Yes! Because that one experience then reflected on the entirety of his being. And that is exactly what happened here. That Avraham Avinu wanted guests desperately. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled him to have the guest, but Hashem kept the difficulty. And in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing, is this something that's really his essence or not? And being able to pass the test shows us that this was really what Avraham Avinu was about. And that's why this becomes the model of Avraham Avinu's chesed, when he did so much chesed, because this chesed is like Yosef HaTzadik. It's the quintessential chesed because it reflects, not only in this situation, it's the reflection in all situations of his love of Achnas Arochim. My friends, this idea is a very powerful idea, that sometimes when we're in a difficult challenge and a difficult state, and we think, I can't. Know that situation that we're in is not just about that moment, but the situation that we're in is a defining moment of who I am. that then has repercussions both to the past and to the future of who I really am. Just to share a short story, and then we'll just very briefly do the last part. Story of a family in Bnei Brak, where a fellow was writing, Avrech was writing a sefer, and he needed 50,000 shekels, and he went to a gemach and borrowed 50,000 shekels to print the sefer. He took the envelope and put it in his farm shank, in his bookshelf. A few weeks later, his wife is home, and she gets a call from the cheder that her son hurt himself, and she needs to come down, take him to the infirmary, to Kupat Cholim. So she doesn't know what to do, because her kids are supposed to come home. So she hides the key and then leaves the note where the key is hidden, that they can come in and make themselves lunch, and she'll be back. Well, a robber happened to be passing by and saw the note. Well, he found the key that was hidden, and he made himself at home, not with the food, but with almost everything else. The husband comes home with the kids, or after the kids, whatever, and quickly surmises the entire situation, and he is hysterical. He goes to the bookshelf, the money is gone, he is irate at his wife, he is fuming. Like, how could you be so stupid to just leave a key when, you know, we have things in the house and all that was stolen, and he is beside himself, a mess. And then he comes down and he says to himself, his poor wife, the kid got hurt. She was in a rush. She didn't know what to do. I'm sure the neighbors weren't home. She didn't want the kids to be waiting outside not knowing where she was. She did the most logical thing. Who would think that some robbers walking right around Bnei Brak? And he took his kids and he started dancing with them. And dancing and dancing, that he was able to overcome his anger and to be able to judge his wife for the benefit of the doubt. And he's ecstatic. And his wife comes in and she is like, what's going on here? She figures out the robbery and everyone's dancing. It didn't make sense to her. Not only did it make sense to her, the neighbor downstairs hears singing and dancing and comes upstairs and asks, what's going on? And he tells him the whole story. I overcame my anger. I judged my wife for the benefit of the doubt. I am rejoicing and singing. The neighbor shared this story with somebody at work. The person at work was so impressed by the story, he says, I want to give this fellow the 50,000 shekels that he lost from this robbery, plus another 50,000 shekels, because I'm so impressed with who he is as a gift, not even as a loan. And the PS of the story is, a few weeks later, he finds the 50,000 shekels. It was not stolen. And then the halachic question is, does he get back the 50,000 shekels, the extra one that he got? Okay, but that's not our question for today. This shows you who this person is. This is the person who knows how to overcome the challenges in life. This is the greatness of a person, that when you're pushed to shove, and this is a good time to get angry, and you're able to overcome it, then your nature is one to judge for the benefit of the doubt. Your nature is one to mekabel everything that happens ba'ava. The times of our challenge give us a sense of who we really are. So the first idea for today is, when Rashi says that Hashem took out the sun, it was really a test for Avraham Avinu, and he passed with flying colors to show for us in our lives the passion, enthusiasm we need to have to do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to have the ability to make chesed a priority in our lives, not just for the recipient, but for us as well. Emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, be a giver when a person doesn't even know that we're giving, and do it in a way of hislavos, of passion. In understanding the second level, we need to appreciate an insight that the Chida mentioned. It doesn't say Bichom Hayom, at the time of the heat of the day. It says Kichom Hayom, like the heat of the day. And with this, we can appreciate Rashi's comment that Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol took the sun out of its sheath. What does this mean? So this is a reference to a pasuk of Malachi, where Malachi describes that in the future times, the sun is going to come out in its full strength. And as Chazal explained, the tzaddikim are going to be healed by the sun, and Rishayim are going to be burned by the sun. What's the explanation? So Masilas Bavavam has a very long essay. Time is very limited, so we'll just highlight some of the ideas based on the Eretz Tzvi, where he says the following. After Avraham Avinu did the Bris Milah, he entered into a state of Hitalech Lufanai Ve'yeh Tamim, of looking in front of Hashem and being whole, as if he has reached, like Eliyahu and Chanoch, who enter into the next world with their body. Likewise, Avraham Avinu at this moment became in this perfected state that Kadosh Baruch Hu, in taking the sun out of its sheath, was as if saying, I am allowing you now to be in the next world, in the next dimension. You have reached your fullest completion, you've reached the perfection. And this was why, he says, you don't need to do Hachdas Arachim. You don't need to do any mitzvahs. You're there. You've reached there. On a deeper level, he explains that Hachdas Arachim is about being able to bring back the sparks to their roots. There's no need to. Everyone is where they need to be. Avraham Avinu, you've reached the apex. Why is this taking out the sun the imagery of the perfected world? What is the sun all about? So again, based on the Eretz Tzvi, I'm just summarizing the last two pages of the Shir. The sun has an interesting dimension to it. We know the sun, on the one hand, represents Olam Hazeh, the physical world, Ein Chadash Tachat HaShemesh, throughout Kohelet. As well as, we spoke about Parshat Noach, the sun represents the Or HaGanos, that celestial light, that light of spirituality. In both ways that we look at the sun having a covering, a sheath, has significance. If we understand the sun representing the Olam Hazeh, this physical world, so the covering of the sun is this aspect where you think that there's something unbelievable in the physical world. It's covered up. You're just drawn to the sun, you're drawn to its beauty. However, if you would take away the covering of the sun, that all you have is a gas that you aren't able to hold. The physical pleasures in this world look so enticing, but when you actually get there, it leaves you empty. Likewise, when you take a look at the spiritual world, it too has a covering. It's a covering because otherwise people would just be drawn to that spirituality. The covering is in order to give that free bechira that you choose, that spiritual world. In the future, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the next dimension, is going to take out the sun, the Rishayim, the wicked people who spent their whole lives running after physical pleasures, will then realize, what did we spend our time doing? It was empty. And the righteous people, when the sun comes out, they will be able to bask in that spiritual glory, in that spiritual bliss, that they were able to taste in this world, and now it will come out in its full glory. So Hashem, in taking out the sun at this moment, is enabling Avraham Avinu to feel the great spiritual bliss of the next dimension in this world. Hence, you don't need to do the mitzvah of Hachnas Arachim. You don't need to do mitzvahs at all. What was Avraham Avinu's response? Avraham Avinu's response says no. Avraham Avinu said, I am a person who will not be satisfied just to sit and bask in this physical pleasure. No, I want to be able to do as many mitzvahs as possible. I want to be able to come as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam as possible. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Avraham Avinu's request and sends these angels. Ah, why does he send angels who can't even eat and you can't even do the mitzvah Hachnas Arachim? The asterisk at the end of 48, El Shebaemet lo hayta matarakan kiyum ha-mitzvah, kim torech hit'askup ha-mitzvah. The point here isn't that Avraham Avinu will be doing and fulfilling a mitzvah. Rather, he wanted to be involved in mitzvot. He wanted to be involved in bringing Nachat Ruach to Ribbono Shel Olam. He wasn't happy just to sit back and just rest on his laurels. Rabosai, this helps us understand a vort for from Pesach Kohen in our final source 49, where he says, the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu stood over them, v'hu omed aleihem. He stood over them not only physically by taking care of them, he stood over them, he towered over them. The angels could see. In comparing Avraham Avinu to the angels, Avraham Avinu's passion, his enthusiasm, he rose to spiritual heights that were way above and beyond their own capacity. This is somebody who wanted and was driven to do more and more. And clearly the lesson for our lives, my friends, from both levels is fundamental. Whether the first understanding of Rashi that a person shouldn't allow physical impediments to get in our way of doing mitzvos. On the second level of Rashi, one shouldn't say that I'm involved in a spiritual place, the plateau, and that is sufficient. No, every person, wherever they are, should be able to push themselves above and beyond. And what's driving force in every person should be this passion for mitzvos, the zeal for mitzvos. That is our goal. That is our raison d'etre in life. And when that sun comes out ultimately at the end of time, we should be the ones who are going to be able to bask in the presence, in the sun, in the spiritual values, because we have lived the life modeling after Avraham Avinu. No excuses. No saying, you know, I'm tired, not now, another time, another mitzvah. I'm enjoying the spiritual state I'm in. Why should I push myself more? We should be the people that learn from Avraham Avinu to expend ourselves, to be involved in this religious fervor. I am not going to be the one who's going to be in the state of mavet. I'm going to be in the state of achaybahem, the state of life, the state of passion. And this is the greatest bracha, to live with this mindset.